The mutable was the immutable. Well, there's a couple of interesting points hiding there. We see that Parmenides responds, no, no. He's going to give a material answer again, but we've got to have something that is one and motionless and eternal and so on. The other thing is that we are beginning to see thinkers move a step or two past the idea that there will be material explanations for things. Because with Heraclitus, we've really got a different kind of answer. If change is the one unchanging thing, that's a very different thing from saying earth or air or fire or water, you see? It's a very different kind of answer. The question's the same. The aim is the same. What you're trying to figure out is the same, but it's a different kind of answer. Now, it was at that point that a thinker called Anaxagoras comes along and says, actually, mind is crucial. Mind is crucial. What did that mean? What he meant by that was things exist to the degree and only to the degree that they are perceived. Now, you've all heard, perhaps not without thinking about it, or perhaps without thinking about it, examples of this. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a sound? Anaxagoras would say, no, because the sound must be perceived. For things to exist, they must be perceived. Now, do you notice this is another interesting step from pure materialism through beginnings of conceptual attempts to grapple with the material, now to the grappling tool itself, the mind. So now we are moving back and forth, in a sense, along a spectrum from the world that is out there and from the active intelligence that is in here. And we're beginning to understand that the processes of thought, the nature of thought, how thought works, is going to be crucial. Now, in a number of important ways, Greek thinking on being. Now, you imagine that word with a capital B. Being. The state of existence. What bees? We don't have that word. But he said, what bees out there? What is? What is the nature of being? The Greeks basically put that question, more or less, on the platform where it's resided ever since. Now, we have qualified it in a variety of ways, and we've approached it in a variety of ways. Subsequent Greek thought will, in a sense, here begin to part paths. The path that followed natural science will explore being in greater and greater and greater detail as an objective understanding of that world out there. Philosophy is going to travel on a different path. It's going to spend more time thinking about thinking. It's going to spend more time thinking about getting in touch with that world out there. And then slowly but surely, and under circumstances that we'll come to in just a few minutes, philosophy began to turn to what we would call ethics and morals. All right. That being the case, how do we know? Let's go back to that question, our second question. How do we know? As thinkers reflected on being, they recognized that our senses, in the first instance, are the tools that we have. All right. So if we are going to ask, how do we know? And if we are going to cope with the tools that are at our disposal for knowing, we're going to pose an agenda of questions. Let's say four. What does it mean to know? What does that mean? What's the nature of that process? Can we actually know anything? Is knowledge possible? What means are available to us for knowing? How is the world constituted? And how am I constituted so that I can know something about that world out there? Am I composed in such a way that I actually have some capability of understanding that world out there? Now, initially, knowledge was equated very much with what I have seen myself. You'll remember perhaps when we were talking about Herodotus, the Greek historian. We said that among other things, he said, you can write about what you have seen. You can write about what you know yourself. So he traveled enormously and he interrogated large numbers of people. We saw, for example, among the Greek medical writers, who were so influential, for instance, on Thucydides, that close study and observation were crucial. Now, if we think, we extend our thought just a bit, what I have seen, we're talking about one of our senses, aren't we? The sense of sight.